all of Moses. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush, and he looked, and the bush was on fire but not consumed. Moses said, "I must turn aside. I must look at this great sight, but see why this bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he saw the bush, God called to him out of the bush and said, "Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet. You are standing on holy ground." And then God said, "I am God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob." And then Moses hid his face. He was afraid. The Lord said, "I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cry. Indeed, I know their suffering, and I have come to deliver them from the Egyptians, bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, Moses, I will send you." You to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "God, who am I?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought these people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, fill us with courage and a sense of your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I think we can relate to Moses more than we realize, because some of this story is about our theme during Lent. In fact, I think a lot of this story is about this universal fear we have of failure. Moses was so afraid that he would fail God that he just had excuses after excuses. If you keep reading this story, you'll just find one excuse after another. Once I found an ad when researching a sermon online, and that the website was www.officialworkexcuses.com. It's a real website devoted to writing people official excuses for a day off of school or work. No joke. They'll say whatever you want them to say. You're sick, you're grieving, you're out of the country, you name it. I wonder, do you have a favorite excuse? One of these really popular ones, like, "I forgot. No one told me to do that. I don't know how to do that." That's the way we've always done it. And my all-time least favorite, "That is not my job." Moses had a lot of excuses for God. What excuses do we bring to God? Because God still calls on us, and what do we say? Moses had every right to have these excuses. He had every right to be afraid. Do you remember what had happened to him? He failed big time in Egypt. He murdered one of them who was abusing an Israelite, and that's when he ran away to Midian, started this new life where he married Zipporah and had a son, Gershom, and was working as a shepherd for his father-in-law. And he thought life was good. He didn't feel qualified to do anything else, nor did he want to do anything else, but God had other plans. Isn't that how it goes? So while he was minding his own business, this voice of God tells him in a burning bush to go free the Israelites in Egypt. And God is insistent. Remember that point. Moses is insistent with one excuse after another after another, and God is more insistent, remember that, with a rebuttal for all of his excuses. Moses says, "Who am I to go?" And God says, I will be going with you." Moses says, "What am I supposed to say?" God says, "I will give you the words. Tell them that I am the God of Abraham sent you." Moses says, I can't talk very well. God says, I will speak with you. I made your mouth for Pete's sake. Moses says, send someone else, and God gets mad. God agrees to let Aaron go with him, but he essentially tells Moses in Exodus, you are going, so get over it. We know the rest of the story. He goes, he pleads for his people, he performs signs and wonders, and he leads the people out into freedom, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness for 40 years. He's this amazing leader, and he listens to them. He advises them. He puts up with their excuses. Moses didn't even know he had all this in him. But it all began with a fear of failure. After all, it's harder to fail if you just keep doing what you've always done, right? Or if you ignore the burning bush right in front of you in your life, right? In Adam Hamilton's book, Unafraid, he believes there are three important principles about failure. And I love this. See if you agree. One is, things are usually not as hard as you fear. Two, successful people are willing to do the scary things that other people won't do. And three, he calls discernment by nausea. He says the harder, riskier, less convenient path is often the right one, and it might even make you a little sick to your stomach. Kind of reminds me of Robert Frost's poem, The Road Less Traveled, or Jesus. Jesus who said, take up a cross and follow me. Jesus who said, the road to the kingdom of God is narrow and very hard. Unfortunately, all of us have this fear of failure, and sometimes it can just paralyze us. It can prevent us from doing anything. It can prevent us from actually finding any joy in life. If we allow our fear of failure to control us, you know what will happen? Nada. You will probably not start that business, or take that new job, or go into rehab, or start some therapy, or try a new medicine from your doctor, or take any plunge into anything new because you're paralyzed by fear. So what do you do? What do you do when you're afraid of failing? What do? Do you give up? Do you ignore? Do you start to back away slowly and slowly from God? One wise pastor in seminary told me, as a pastor, you're going to have probably over 100 people with over, 150 opinions about how you are doing your job, and about how you should be doing your job, and about how you are failing at your job, and about where you fall short in your job. And sometimes they will share all of that in the foyer of the church. But it's not just pastoring. That's any job. It's your job too. Whether it's in the workplace, the home, the community, we cannot avoid criticism or disappointing people or failing in some way no matter what we do. Every single morning we wake up and we risk failing and disappointing someone for some reason. And that thought can make you crazy. It can keep you stuck. Or it can send you into the arms of Jesus, who goes with you. Do you remember that Jesus made people really, really mad? Do you remember that he failed in the eyes of the religious leaders by not following all 613 religious Jewish laws? Do you remember that he disappointed people, so many of them, that they crucified him? This one who they expected to be a king and a warrior and save them the way they wanted to be saved. In fact, in John 6, verse 66, it says that many followers of Jesus, after he fed the 5,000, after he told them, I'm going to give you my body and my blood, it says many of them turned away and left. But Jesus kept going. How? Why? It all came down to following his call and having this love and grace for people. So what about us? How and why do we keep on going? Do we follow? Do we try to be instruments of that love and grace even when we fail and disappoint others? Disappointing people is part of being human. If you doubt this, please go home and ask your kids. Failure is a part of human life. We all mess up, which is actually great news because failure, especially when you read through the entire Bible, failure is how we grow and learn, and it's how we find joy in life. Hamilton mentions J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books, and how her first manuscript was rejected 12 times. And people told her things like, "Keep your day job, honey." You know what happened in her story. She wisely said, "It's impossible to fully live without failing at something." My list of failures is very, very, very long. That's a whole sermon series in and of itself. Some of them are funny, some of them are heartbreaking. One of them is real stupid, like I can't ride a bike anymore. Upon receiving one, I took out a mailbox, which was embarrassing, painful, and expensive. So no bikes for me, at least not the kind with just two wheels. And no horses for me either, after my PTSD of being thrown off of them over and over again as a kid. And no Zumba class, Patty, ever. After my attempt many years ago with Amy Crowder, I had to lay in bed with an arthritis flare for several days. How have you failed? When did you learn your limits? When have you disappointed people? If you believe that you've done any of that, welcome to the human race and life with God. You're in absolutely great company with Moses and every single one of us. But have you ever let that fear lead you to say no to God? Just no, no, I'm not doing it. And what are you most afraid of right now? Is it a presentation at work? Is it caring for a sick loved one? Is it being a leader? Is it using your gifts at church? What about people knowing what you really, really struggle with? What are you afraid of? And how many of us are afraid of things like failing in love, parenting, being sober, taking care of our kids, getting a new job or a new career? As a pastor, they always joke that you live in this fishbowl. It's true. So my failures, my big ones, they're well known. My first two marriages fell completely apart right before your eyes. I failed my kids through divorce and scarred them forever. But just like every single follower of Jesus, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm made new. What about you? When have you failed big time? When have you disappointed others to just no end? And do you realize that you too are forgiven? Pastor Mark Batterson wrote a book called All In, and he says, we have got to take risks because faith is embracing the uncertainty of life. It's recognizing this divine call when you see it. He says, embrace relational uncertainty because it's called romance. Embrace spiritual uncertainty because it's called mystery. Embrace occupational uncertainty because it's called destiny. And embrace intellectual uncertainty because it's called revelation. The courage to face our fears and risk failure comes from just doing it. The courage to face our fear of failure comes from failing and letting God pull us up again. When has God done that for you? One of my favorite poets Maya Angelou said the most important lesson she ever learned from her mother was how to develop courage by being courageous. And after years, she says, I realized you aren't born with courage. You develop it by doing little bitty things at a time. You don't set out to pick up the 100-pound bag of rice. First, you pick up the 5-pound bag, then the 10, then the 50, until you can finally pick up the 100 pounds. And it's the same way with learning courage. In 2011, there was this goofy movie called We Bought a Zoo. Did you see that movie? And it's a true story of a British man, Benjamin Mee, who bought a zoo with his family, and he just asked himself all the time, what are we doing? But in the film, Mee says, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery, and I promise you something great can come from that. In 1997, basketball star Michael Jordan did a Nike ad, and the name of the ad was Failure. In it, he says, I've missed over 9,000 shots. I have lost over 300 games. I have missed 26 opportunities when I was supposed to make the winning shot. And then he says, I have failed over and over and over again. And that is why I succeed. Courage. Courage is not the absence of fear or the avoidance of failure. It's doing what you've been called to do and realizing that there's really just one person whose opinion really matters about us. And that person is God. And that person is there to pick us up when we fail and comfort us when we are afraid. That person is always on our side, always cheering us on, always picking us up. The fear of failure seems so powerful, but God is way more powerful. God's perfect love casts out fear. The people I know who have the most joy in life are the people that just say, I'm just gonna do it. Scared to death, gonna do it. These are the people that take a leap of faith, that take that 20 seconds of insane courage, the road less traveled, the things that others refuse to do, and they discover that what they thought was impossible is actually possible with God right beside them. Moses was a stuttering, murderous shepherd, turned preacher and leader who saved hundreds of lives. We don't have to trust what we can do. It doesn't matter what I can do. It matters what God can do through us. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power at work within us. Romans 8:31 says, If God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, what is God asking you to do in your life right now? And are you afraid to fail? Are you paralyzed by fear? Do you have a lot of excuses? If the answer to any of that is yes, I just say, take the plunge. Do it because God is with you. There's so many translations of the Bible, and we use the NRSV a lot here, but there's a new one called the Passion Translation, and I encourage you to look it up. It's really beautiful, especially in things like the Psalms. But I want you to listen to Psalm 62 and a few verses that I found and meditated on all week. It says, Only God is my Savior, and He will not fail me. He is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me. He is my defender, and there is no risk of failure with God. Why would I ever let worry paralyze me, even when troubles multiply around me? Because God's glory is all around me. It's so important to be reminded of that truth every day. It's so important for every single one of us to take time alone with God, to be refreshed and hear those words of courage and love and grace. Every time I stand up here and share any of the Word of God, I pray that you can live it out. Live it out in your daily life. This week, I found something really cool. I know a lot of you have a smartphone, and it doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android. There's an app you can find called Abide. It's awesome. It's basically listening to scripture and prayers and guided meditations and talking to you with really solid teaching about what the Bible has to say about failure and emotions and anxiety, and I've been using it to get to sleep. But the other thing that I use all the time that not everybody knows is I use Bible Gateway. It's on the website, it's on an app, on your phone, whatever kind of phone you have. Every morning as I drink my crazy smoothie and my coffee, I read my Streams in the Desert, and now I read it on my phone, on the Kindle, on my phone. And there's even an app for that. We believe in the presence of Jesus who helps us. And we believe that we can get beyond our fear of failure if we will only have the eyes and perspective of God. God sees and knows how all of this is going to end. The way may be rocky, we will fail, we will disappoint people, but ultimately, God is victorious. Jesus wins. Love and mercy and grace and joy is at the end of the story, not fear. Remember how often the Bible says, do not fear? Well, go home and keep Googling that. It goes on and on and on. I subscribe to Proverbs 31. This is a ministry that you can have an email sent to your inbox every week with a great thing about attitude and joy and peace. We can live in this state of panic and fear every day, or we can live in the presence of God who can take away that fear. And we can turn to God's word to find the strength and courage and hope that we need. Sometimes all it takes is turning open the page of your Bible, reading the verses, closing your eyes, and putting your own name right in there. Sometimes we need to imagine, literally imagine, putting aside our fears and hearing what God says to us, because that is when we receive peace, and that's when we receive joy. That's the good news of the gospel today. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please stand. Let's affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 30.